Newsweek presents The Debate with Andrew Tolman.
Everything 100% of the time, 24 hours a day, is a negotiation.
Ellis Hennigan.
None of us have fallen for the notion that this is conservative.
Imani Wells Onyoha.
I'm completely fed up with whether it's politicized or not.
And Jeff Charles.
That distracts us from actually rolling up our sleeves.
The Debate starts now.
So obviously we're in the middle of this really difficult conversation about transgender persons, transgender minors. Is it something that you choose? Is it something that is assigned at birth? I mean, this is a big conversation. One of the lesser dimensions of that conversation came up recently in California, where you have school children that under state law, if they want to be identified as a different gender or if they want to be called by a different gendered name, the teachers have to ask them for permission in order to tell the parents. So a teacher cannot go to the parent and say, I know you registered Johnny, but actually she wants to be called Jenny, without asking Jenny first. But there's, I guess, and I haven't gone into the legal issue here enough, but apparently if a local school district votes on it, they can countermand that rule for the local school district. So you recently had a school district that did exactly this, and Chino Valley Unified School District met. They voted 4-1 to implement a policy that says that teachers have to tell the parents that they are not allowed to keep this new development secret, if you want to call it that, from the parents. There was a big fight. One of the, you know, the state folks who was in charge of the policy at the state level got thrown out of the meeting. It was a big hubbub. But it really is, to me, the basic question is whether something like, you know, gender identity, and of course this begs questions about sexual orientation too, but whether gender identity is the kind of thing that kids should be allowed to keep from their parents, but to tell teachers at school, or whether teachers really should be sort of representatives of, ambassadors of, liaisons to the parents, and the parents have a right to know this information about what's going on with their children. Let me start with you, Ellison, your thoughts about which way this ought to go. Should teachers be, you know, should they be telling parents or should they be keeping the secrets of the children?
You know who should stay out of this issue? Legislators. Government. I mean, I know I'm going to sound like Jeff on this one, Mr. Libertarian over here in government out of my business.
Gotcha.
But this entire, you're being very persuasive, sir. But issues, all these gender related, don't say gay, various treatments that people have. These are all complicated questions, right? I mean, the psychology of young people, and it changes as they get a little older and one family is different from another, and people's attitudes and faith traditions differ. And I grant they're complex and difficult decisions, but somebody's got to make the decisions. And the people who are best able to make them, I believe, are parents, families, with the advice of their clergy people and their medical professionals. And I'd let the teachers teach. I'd let the parents raise. And I would say that let Bubba and the state legislature stay as far away as possible. They're not smart enough to do it. They're not sophisticated enough to do it. They're not independent enough to do it. And every time they get involved in it, it gets things worse. So if you're talking about rules and regulations in this field, Andrew, I am against them.
So what just as a practical matter, then, what do you want? The teacher in the seventh grade has a kid who's expressing transgender ideology or identity. Should that teacher be keeping that secret from the parents, or should the teacher be required to disclose it, especially if the kid wants to go by a different name in class or, you know, whatever? Because I get what you're saying. We want the people closest to the problem to be, you know, solving it and have input on it. But it really is, to me, you have to answer the question of, well, do you have to tell or do you keep that from the parents?
I want the teacher to decide. I don't think I know the answer.
So not
to that
the parent, though, the teacher. Okay.
And it may be different in another case, but I think I let the teacher decide the teaching questions. First of all, if a kid is going to be transgender, this is not a realistic problem. The parents aren't going to be completely clueless about this, and the kid is just confiding with the one teacher now the law wants him to rat him out. This is not real life. This is ideology, I think. It's one of the dangers of bringing government into these decisions. I let the teachers make the teaching decisions and let the parents deal with the medical stuff with the doctors.
So that's where, you know, where I have some of the issue. You know, I'm going to come down on the other side of this is because I think teachers are essentially employees of the parents, that they serve the parents' interests and they're delegated ambassadors of parental authority. And so to me as a parent, I want to know what's going on with my kid. I don't want teachers keeping secrets from me about crucial life interests of kids. And not just this issue, right? But if my child is expressing, you know, emotional distress or frustration and anger, I mean, sort of across the board, I don't want teachers keeping secrets from me as a parent. So I take the other view that parental rights are the focus. Imani, what do you think?
I think there needs to be a safety assessment first, because that's probably my primary concern when it comes to outing people, whether they're coming out as gay, trans, or otherwise. There are a lot of parents who will harm their kids or put them out if they find out certain things like that. So I think that's where the teacher needs to use their discernment on whether it is a safe place to share that information. Because if it's not relevant to their coursework, their behavior, their trajectory, as far as they're succeeding or not succeeding in the class, if it's not relevant, I don't think it needs to be discussed, but I also don't think it should be discussed if they talk to them without consulting that child first. Because even though we talked about this before, but children are people too. Like, they still deserve some sort of autonomy over their lives and in the decisions that are being made about them. So I think, like Ella said, there's no really perfect way to do this because every situation is so different. But if the topic of addressing this with a parent comes up, they definitely should consult that child first, because we don't know what harm we could be putting that child in just by even having that conversation with the parent. We don't know what those parents are capable of. So some sort of real assessment of the household needs to happen before that information is even given over to the parent, because it would be terrible if something happened to that child because that information was shared and it was the teacher's fault because they let that parent know.
So I'm eager to concede that some parents are awful and that some parents, you know, would probably be better off not having those kids. The problem I have with that approach is it's sort of presuming that fact about the parents. And I don't mind some kind of an evaluation, but it seems to me like the default setting has to be trust the parents, unless you have good reason to believe that the parent is a danger to that child. And if the parent is a danger to that child, the solution is not keep their secrets at school. The solution is find them a different home. Right. And, you know, so that's where I agree with you in theory. Of course, I want to protect children who are at risk because of, you know, oppressive or abusive parents. It's the question of whether the child in making major life choices and the teacher at a distance should be in the position of presumptively deciding mm-hmm. that. Jeff, what do you think?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'm sympathetic to that as well. But I think it's worth noting that I don't think that there's a single state that doesn't have mandated reporter laws. So if there's already a reason to think that there might be abuse, then teachers can already kind of bubble that up and you know, take whatever action is necessary. But the vast majority of parents do not abuse their kids. So I think having the presumption that they're going to do that, I don't think that that's the right approach. I'm also kind of sympathetic to a solution that may be a little bit more statist than what Ellis articulated, which is surprising to me. But you know, when we're talking about passing laws that prevent school districts from doing this, from keeping the stuff a secret, in theory, I can agree with that because you're violating parental rights. And also, these are government employees, right? The government should not be able to just do whatever they want with your child. But after saying that, I think what you said, Ellis, kind of got me thinking. I really think that a really good solution to this is school choice. If parents can dictate or decide when, how and where their children are educated, they can work that out with the school system beforehand. If there's a school that will say, hey, our teachers are not going to tell you if your child expresses gender dysphoria or that they might be a different gender, then you can say, okay, well, I don't want to put my child at your school. I'll go to a school that will tell me. That would probably, again, there's no perfect solution here, but that might actually be a way to mitigate a lot of the stuff.
So some schools would have a pro-secrecy policy. And if you're a parent who believes in sort of making that available to your kids, do so. Or other schools would have a mandatory reporting kind of policy. And I want to know what's going on with my kids. You put your kid in that kind of school. And so then it's really allowing the parent to choose. And as you say, giving them an option, a kind of a open alternative, as opposed to Alice's heavy-handed, not that you're advocating, you're criticizing the heavy-handed form of government that says all schools everywhere in the state are going to do it this way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not saying that teachers should never tell parents. I mean, maybe in the majority of cases, they ought to tell parents. I mean, there's maybe good reasons that all of you all have cited to do it. Although I have to say, Imani's example of that abusive family where the teacher says, whoa, I don't know if I want to tell that dad this information I have. But in the end, it seems to me we need to trust professional educators, don't we? I mean, let them do their jobs. You know, they do have to make judgments. There's a lot of gray areas when you're out there dealing with kids. And the idea, again, getting back to passing these laws from these, you know, souped up ideological state legislatures who are truly, I mean, you wouldn't trust those people with any decision, important decision in your life or family. I wouldn't want those people making my toughest decisions in life. And I don't think they should be making those decisions for that 13-year-old kid with questions.
I think there should be counselors involved in this decision too, because this is such, I mean, it's a heavy thing. Like, I've had friends come out to me when I was younger and people be terrified. Even people that I can look at and I'm like, girl, I knew you was gay, baby, but thank you for trusting me with that secret. They are so scared by how will I tell them? How will this reveal go? It creates a lot of anxiety. So even just allowing a counselor to be a part of this process, whichever way it goes, but I want somebody, I think my biggest concern in this situation is having somebody represent the child in the situation, not just the parent, not just the teacher, but somebody that is there as an advocate for that child and communicates to either the parent, the teacher, the principal, whoever, what the needs and wants of that child are. So she is at least, or he is heard in the situation. I don't want these decisions happening on either side of them without them being a giant factor and without them having an advocate. I think that's what makes me the most nervous.
You know, and I think because, I mean, I've researched on this issue a lot. I've written tons about it. And in a lot of, in most of these cases, Imani, there is a counselor involved, whether it's going the way I think it should or not. There is a counselor involved, whether the school district is trying to conceal it from the parents or whether they're open about it. They usually do get some school counselors involved in the process. And in cases where they're doing it right, the parents are involved and they work together to figure out a solution. My fear, though, is with this whole, you know, like with gender affirming care, like when they're basically shoving that down people's throats and in some cases, like in California, trying to mandate it by law, that's where you run into a lot of problems because you have a one size fits all solution. And there's really no real scientific evidence that this stuff is really helping minors in the first place. That's where we get into dangerous territory.
You know, one of the things that this seems to me to be part of a sort of a broader dispositional issue we have in this country right now, where a lot of parents have the feeling that school is doing things they don't want the school to do. And of course, I mean, that's not new. Okay. You know, there's always been some of that. Anytime you have education for a diverse population, there's always going to be some of that. But there's the feeling like there's these secret nefarious things being taught or shared or whatever. And I think you're seeing this in some of the protests at school boards and some of the uproar over the content of curriculum and, you know, school library materials. And there's definitely a sense, probably more from my side of the aisle, I would say at the moment, that what's going on in schools is working at odds with the values that I want my children to be learning. And it's often not disclosed to me or to us. And so we're starting to not trust teachers or not trust the school system as a kind of a government entity where, you know, I think most of us had pretty good experiences at school and teachers are generally very good and capable and decent and well motivated. But somehow there is this deep distrust right now among some people for what's going on at school. It leads some, I mean, we homeschooled our kids, except for two of them went to middle school and public school, but we homeschooled otherwise in part because of that. And yet for other people who don't have the wherewithal or the interest in doing that, they send their kids to school, but they're worried about what's happening there. And to find out that, you know, for 2 years, my child has been a different gender at school than they are at home. And the teachers have been colluding to keep this from me. That, like, is just, I mean, it's incredibly frustrating to imagine as a parent. That's kind of the side of it where I come from.
Yeah, and it's also paranoid often, Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
that's fair. That's fair.
I share your experience. I had great teachers. I mean, I had wonderful advice from teachers and teachers caring about me and taking an interest. And I mean, I owe so much of what I've become as an adult to great teachers I had as a kid. And
amen.
It worries me a little bit when I see this this passion out there. You know, and it's always the loudest, dumbest parent, by the way, who's the one who's showing up at the school board meeting, right? It's not the smart, well-balanced, normal parent, right? It's the crazy parents that's showing up and demanding this stuff. And I hate to see those people affecting the educational experience that others have, banning books and turning teachers into villains and going through the curriculum with a magnifying glass and wondering whether some question is being asked that's inappropriate. I think the pendulum has swung way too far in a paranoid direction.
There's one thing I've often said in a different context, and I think it's interesting to match up the question of like guns, teachers being armed and how we react to that compared to this topic, because there's some weird asymmetries here. But what I've always said is if you can't trust teachers to really, you know, discipline your kids, yell at your kids if they need it, you know, that you can't trust, then you probably shouldn't have them in the school. And so if you can't trust the teachers to make good judgments about disclosing things to you in gender, maybe you shouldn't have them in the school in the first place. That's kind of your, you know, loudest, most obnoxious parent would probably be the one that maybe they shouldn't have their kids in that school to begin with. Sorry, Jeff, I kind of talked over you there.
No, you're fine. I mean, Ellis, I actually agree with what you said about the pendulum swinging way in the other direction. I do that. Think that there are some valid concerns. I think a lot of these parents who are showing up to the school board meetings have some valid concerns, but then there are some who are just seeing this evil behind every corner, even where it doesn't exist. I don't, even with all as passionate as I am about this subject, I will never contend that the majority of teachers are trying to harm these kids or are trying to indoctrinate. I don't trust the system, the government-run school system, but I don't think that each individual teacher is somehow rotten. But I've seen the overreaction, especially when it comes to the race stuff, like the critical race theory, things like that. I think there are valid concerns, but you don't ban books about Martin Luther King or movies about Ruby Bridges or pretend that slavery was a job skills training program. I had to get that in there. But, I do see in a lot of ways there is an overreaction to things that might actually be issues. So I think that really this is a local community issue, which is why when they pass laws at the state level, I'm like, if I agree with it, okay, I mean, I guess, but that's not really going to do much. These are local issues that need to be worked out by school boards and local communities. And parents, if you're leery about the school that your daughter or son is going to, take him out, homeschool, do a co-op. There are so many different options. You know, push for school choice in your state. I think that solves a lot of this.
And I think this really goes to just the overall conversation on governing in general, like what should be governed, what should not be governed. And I feel like y'all are saying, this pendulum has swung so high that we're involving governance in things that are used to be basis of opinion. Like, it's an opinion on how you handle these things. It's an opinion on what should be taught, what should be this. These are opinion, facts, matters. And now we're trying to put the rule of law involved and where it shouldn't be. And that's just my own personal frustration, because I feel like there's so many issues that are actual governing type of issues that we don't even acknowledge anymore because we're so in the weeds of these people who are just have ideological differences that otherwise would never even come to light, that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But that's just my little side take.
You know, one of the things in the conversation about books and library materials and banning is kind of what you were saying, Ellis, is it's become this all or nothing thing, right? You know, everybody has access or nobody has access when, you know, most libraries, most schools have a policy that the parent can tell the school, hey, you know, I want these books available or I don't want these books available. So parents already have a mechanism in most of the schools for controlling access to information that they think is not appropriate for their children. It seems like something along those lines, maybe even a more individualized approach than Jeff was saying, that not even by school district, but the parent could basically, you know, grant or retain the right to know certain things. But also, you know, Ellis, I love your emphasis on wanting to trust the teacher. I would also say we probably need to trust the parents. That, you know, generally speaking, parents also are well-intended, trying their hardest, doing their best, want to get what's best for their children. You know, they might have disagreements with that's children. That's normal. But, you know, we've got to do both, right? Trust the professionals, but also trust the people who have the basic biological authority over those kids and solve that as locally as possible. I totally agree with you about that.
Would like to be a part of the debate, email us, thedebate@newsweek.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.